But glad that you're here and look forward to working with Jimmy in this quarter. We're studying the invasion and conquest. And I would like for your participation this quarter. I've taught welding for 35 years, so, you know, I'm kind of used to some interaction between students. Now, I don't expect you to do any welding, but, you know. But anyway, I'd like you to interact with me as we talk and discuss things that we'll be dealing with. Now, if you're a lady and you don't want to speak up, that's fine. I'm not asking you to do that. But you guys, I expect you to say something, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. Now, all right. So, as we go through this, I'd like for this group over here to be considered number one. Y'all are number two and y'all are number three. So when I ask a question, I say group three answer. I don't want these two to say anything. So anyway, glad to have you with us. We're going to be studying a little geography this morning. As you can see, we have a slide up this morning. This actually is one that you've already, similar to what you've already seen anyway. And of course, the Israelites started in Egypt. And they moved across from there on down through the Marah, Elam, the wilderness of Sin, Rephidim, to Mount Sinai. And then from Sinai, they moved on up to Kadesh Barnea. At Kadesh Barnea, number one, what happened? This is group one, number one. Okay. What happened at Kadesh Barnea? One thing. Name me one thing. Spies entered the land. Okay? And give me a second one. Another thing that happened. Could not take the land. That's right. A third one. Two. Sentenced to wander. All right. Good. Number three. What is one more thing that we might think of that happened at Kadesh Barnea? Number three has let me down. When the spies returned, what? All right. They gave a report. And how many gave a bad report, number two? Good. All right. I'm liking this so far, folks. I'm liking it. All right. So they left Kadesh Barnea, wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and traveled. They stopped at Mount Hor. And finally God said, you've traveled, you've circled this mountain enough. Get going, you know, basically. And so they left Mount Hor, and that, who died there? One. Anybody we know? Aaron. All right. Good. Good. Ah. So they traveled on up through or by the side of Moab, and they came to a resting place there, at near Mount Nebo. And of course, you know who died who went up Mount Nebo and saw the land, number two. Moses, good, all right. So we're going to be looking at the geography just a little bit, but I want you to look at what we are going to be covering this quarter. We're going to look at the central campaign, the southern campaign, the northern campaign, the division of the land. And then the eastern tribes will be going back home. We'll talk about all that as we get there. All right, the central campaign. I know this is kind of hard to see, and I'm sorry. That's the best I could do. The Israelites were located on the east side of Jordan, in that area right there. They moved across the Jordan, and they set up camp at a place called what? Number two, Where'd they set up camp? Number two. Number two has let me down. Where'd they go? Where'd they set up camp? Number one. We hadn't gone over it yet. I just wondered if you knew. Come on now. All right, the place they set it up. Now, don't forget this. It's called Gilgal. Some kind of gal, but this one's Gilgal, okay? All right. So, they set up camp just across the Jordan at Gilgal, and it's right in that area right there. The first place that they take in the central campaign is a city that was a walled city. Reckon what that might be. Number three, what was that first city they took? Say it again. Good, Jericho. Thank you. All right. And they moved on from Jericho over to another little small place. Number two, what was it? Ai. Good, good. I'm really liking this interaction I'm getting. Thank you so much. All right. And so they go from Ai, and that kind of includes Bethel in that area. But they go on from there up to Mount Gerizim and Mount Elim. We're going to look at that in just a minute or two as well. And then they come back down to Gibeon area. All right, the southern campaign kind of starts there and kind of goes to the southern part. And I'm not going to try to name all of those. It's ones like Hebron, Makeda, different places, and we'll get into those as time goes by. And then the northern campaign, they go up beside the Jordan River up to places like Hazor and Kadesh and other areas up in that northern region and conquer all of those. In chapters 5 through 8, what we find is the central campaign. So when we get to chapter 5 through 8, that's what we'll learn about in those chapters. And 10 through 9 and 10 will be the southern campaign. And then chapter 11 is the northern campaign. Chapter 12 gives us a list of the conquered kings that they conquered. And 13 through 19 gives us a division of the land. My throat's getting dry. 20 through 21 gives us the cities of refuge. And in 22, Joshua 22, we find the eastern tribes go home. And in 23, Joshua gives his farewell speech, more or less. In 24, the covenant is renewed at Shechem. Okay. So if you have access to a globe, if you're teaching this next quarter, and that's basically why we're going over this, is for teachers who are teaching next quarter, so you'll know what you're going to be going over. But if you're teaching, try to get access to a globe. It's a little interesting when you look at it, as you're going to see in just a minute. You can point out Alabama, maybe the United States, or at least the Southeast, and then Canaan, and see geographically where they're located on a globe. That lets the students know this is a real place. It's not just hearsay. It's not just a story, you know, that nothing to back it up. You can actually show them on a globe that this is actually part of the world. So discuss the size of the land, compare it to the local geography. Most students who are kindergarten and over, you know, they've been to to Birmingham from here, and they didn't have to ask, but three times, are we there yet? You know? So, oh, thank you. Appreciate that. Don't come in handy on that. But from the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea, it's about 80 miles, and we're going to look at that in just a minute. Okay, so if you look closely here, what state do you see? I said you'd have to look close. Good, Alabama. Alabama is right there, okay? Now, as we progress, oh, by the way, let me go back to that. All right. I want you to notice this line right here. That is the 30 degree line on the globe, okay, from the equator. I want you to follow that line, and this is still the same line right here. That goes along about Jacksonville, Florida. Keeps going across the ocean, and you barely saw the 30 there just a little bit. But it carries on across, and you can actually begin to see the Mediterranean Sea right here. And this kind of goes almost right across Egypt area. And then as we see Israel in this area right here, that's the Dead Sea. So you can see this right here runs just below, well, you might say just above the Mount Sinai a ways, right close to Kadesh Barnea. You think about it. That's where Kadesh Barnea would have been, somewhere in that area right in there. The Dead Sea and the Jordan River. And of course, this line right here is that 30 degree line. It's the same distance from the equator there as it is right around Jacksonville, Florida down to the equator. So you can kind of get an idea about the weather. That's what I want you to see. Kind of, what kind of weather these people have. Do we ever hear of snow in Israel, in Palestine, Bible land? How about that number two? Do we hear of snow? Yeah, they do have it occasionally. That's right. And it's kind of like here, but we've just been blessed with a lot this year, haven't we? But, if you think about it, the distance from 30 up to right along in there, the top part of Israel would be somewhere in our particular area of weather, okay? So it gives you an idea of what these people would be going through as far as weather-wise. A little bit different because they were closer to the ocean than we are here, in a sense. Okay, so when you think about when you think about Alabama map, and there's Athens, okay? Now, think about how far it is to go down to Birmingham, and you got a little less than 100 miles, okay? From the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea, you've got about 80 miles. Somewhere close to that same area, same distance that you can kind of follow. So we find that a lot of your students that you're going to be teaching, a lot of them have seen rivers. They know what a river is. The size of the river, they may not understand, from time to time. Like the Tennessee River. There are places on the Tennessee River that are very dangerous if you're out there, especially if the wind starts blowing. Okay. And it's only at the widest point, like a little over a mile, maybe. And the waves can really get rough out there. So we're going to talk about that just a little bit. But most students have seen mountains. They know what a mountain is. Some of them have seen the ocean. Some have not. But they kind of get a view of the Mediterranean Sea. And it's very similar to looking at the Gulf. And finally, it goes over the hill. Because the world is round. I heard a man say that you can count on 11 miles to where it actually makes the curve down. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I heard that. Anyway, so a lot of them have seen the ocean. A lot of them have not seen a desert. They don't fully understand what a desert is. So you may have to show them a picture or something of what a desert really looks like. And most of them have seen farmland and animals and those kind of things. But use your maps, especially with children, so they'll get the feel of things. And I'd like for you to be able to walk the walk, if you want to put it that way. I want you to be able to understand what these people had to go through in taking this land. This wasn't like walking from here to town, folks. I mean, this is pretty flat country compared to what they're going to be dealing with. And I want you to understand that, what all it is. But there's different things you can use, handouts, whiteboards, and those things. And don't just stop with one class on geography. Integrate it into your lessons as you go. So they'll know exactly where you're talking about and where it's at. The land of Canaan has not always been as barren as it is today. You know, the land today, what all has happened in decades? What's happened over there? Two? Wars on top of wars on top of wars. And to get an indication of that, there are there are cities over there that are built on top of the rubble of the previous city. And then there are cities that's built on top of that city after it was destroyed. And those are called a tell. And they look like a mountain when you stand back a long ways and look at it. It looks like a mountain. And they've actually done excavations and they found that some of those tells have got as many and maybe more, but they got 25 to 30 different layers down that tell when it used to be flat land. You say, well, how were they able to build that hill? Number one, how do you think, where did they get the stuff to cover that city with? After it was destroyed, they covered it with dirt. Where'd that come from? All around that city. They would scrape the dirt and take it up and dump it on and cover that city after it was destroyed. And then it was destroyed the next time. Where did the dirt come from, number two? All around the city. And then it would be destroyed up to 20, 25, 30 times the city was destroyed. Now you picture what the land around that city began to look like. What do you do when you dig down so far? What do you hit? Number three, what do you hit around here? When you dig down a ways, what do you hit way down? Clay or chert, some people call it. And it's a lot of rocks, bedrocks, those kind of things. Now you begin to understand what these people might be dealing with when you look out across the land and they see this big tell. Guess what? The farmers would actually turn the land on the side of that tell and plant it. Why? One, that's the fertile land. They took it all away from the flat land and put it up on the hillside. And covered over each time. So there was the good land. So you kind of get an idea of what all was taking place over there. It was a fertile land during the time when the spies went in at the first time. You remember what they brought back? What did they bring back, number one? Fruit of the land. And it was good. And they told them, number two, that it was flowing with milk and honey. That indicates that everything was blooming, everything, feeding cattle, those kind of things was going on, and it was so good a land. Okay? Yeah. And we find in Numbers, the 13th chapter, they departed and came back to Moses, and this is when the spies came back, and you notice it said they brought word back, and showed them the fruit of the land. And then they went on in 27 and said, we went into the land where you sent us, and it's truly flowing with milk and honey. Oh, it's such a good land. And then they added to that. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak. Who was Anak? Giant. Okay. In Deuteronomy 11, for the land which you go unto to possess is not like the land of Egypt. There you sowed it, notice this, and you watered it by foot. Many of you knew that when they was in the land of Goshen area that they watered their land by foot. What does that mean? You toted the water. Yeah. And you watered it like a vegetable garden. Wow. You would have thought that region would have had a lot of rain, right? Evidently it did not. So, God says that the land for which the Lord God cares, the eyes of the Lord your God are always on it. From the beginning of the year to the very end of the year, He's going to bless it. He give you rain for your land in the seasons, the early rain, the latter rain. That means things were going to grow. Good crops. Maybe 50 bushels of corn to make, you know. Some people can appreciate 50 and 60 and 80 and 100, that kind of thing. But it says, take heed lest your hearts be deceived and you turn aside from the other gods. What was Moses trying to tell these people? Who? What was Moses trying to tell them? You better do what God says. And mean what you say. Alright, if the Lord's anger aroused against you, He's going to shut up the heavens. You're not going to get the rain, you know, the rains, and you're not going to produce anything. You kind of begin to see if, is the question here. If you do this, if you do that. And, of course, we know what actually happened. The coming generations of children who rise up after you, the foreigners, they come in and say, when they see the plagues of the land and all the sickness that the Lord had laid on them, what are they going to say? Well, they're going to say that the Lord did this because He did it in the heat of His anger and because you didn't do what He said, basically. All right. So, some of the boundaries to the north, we're going to find Mount Lebanon, Mount Hermon, and in the south is the Negev, to the east is the Arabian Desert, and to the west would be the Mediterranean Sea. And this is that 80-mile trip from the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea, about 80 miles right there. You remember Jesus later on, He talked about going down to Galilee from Jerusalem. We would call that up, right? I mean, if we live in South Alabama, we say we're going up to Huntsville, North Alabama. We're going north. We're going up to North Alabama. Well, we're going to get into that just a minute. So the land divides itself into distinct parallel zones running north and south. From the west to the east, these zones are the coastal plains, the Shephelah, the hill country, Jordan Valley, and the Transjordan plateau. Now, if you look here, you'll see the coastal plain is right there, and that's kind of that region, right close to the shoreline of the Mediterranean Sea. And then you have the Shephelah is an area that's just up above, little elevated sections all up through that region right there. And then you come to the hill country that goes up through where Jerusalem is at and so forth, and Hebron, those places. Then you have the Jordan Valley, and then you have the Transjordan Plateau on the other side, on the east side of Jordan. Now, you see here Mount Lebanon, Mount Hermon, And both of these mountains, almost year-round, I think, stays snow-covered. And so the water flows from there down to Lake Hula, and on down to the Galilee, and on down to the Dead Sea. Here's the Arabian Desert, Mediterranean Sea. Here's the Negev down in the lower part. Now, I handed you a paper out, and if you'll look at number one, this map that I've given you, if you look at it, I've got a line drawn right straight across right here. What that's going to do, this map that I gave you actually just cuts that in half. That whole map is just like it's cut in half right there, all the way across right there. Now look at your number one map. And that's what you're going to see. Now, all the way over to the far, let me get over to it. All right, one more. Come on. There you go. All right, when you get over to this section on the far left of your paper, you see the Mediterranean Sea. That's sea level, okay? I want you to follow that line all the way across till you come to the Jordan. Okay, and that's this little dip right in the middle. And that tells you that from that sea level down to the Jordan is about 1,300 feet. And then the Dead Sea goes on down another 1,300 feet. So you can see that's why that's one of the lowest places on earth around. And then you look on crossover and you see the Transjordan Plateau. And you notice from the Jordan, where it's sea level, what a rise on both sides goes up to like Jerusalem and up to Moab and those areas on the other side. Now, this next map is cut the other way. It's cut into long ways on number two. Okay. Now, the one thing I want you to notice, I don't think I printed it on yours, but I want you to notice, I told Adam, I was going to say his name, the city of Adam. You see it right there? That's going to come into play when the children of Israel cross the Jordan. Okay. And the reason I say that is because, you know, when they started crossing, what happened to the Jordan when they started crossing, number one? It dried up. What else, number two? It backed up. That's right. And that's where it backed up to from where they crossed all the way up to Adam. Have you ever thought about how much that backed up? You ever thought about that? When the children of Israel was going across the Jordan, because the waters to their left as they crossed all flowed on down to the Dead Sea. The waters to their right backed up. Have you thought about how deep or how tall that wall of water may have been? Well, you remember that it's 1,300 feet from sea level, which would be this area right here, all the way down to here. So when you think about that area right there, the water could have been anywhere from 150 to 300 feet high, a wall of water. How tall is this building? It's about 30 feet. It could have been as much as 10 times as high as this right here. And you think about the Israelites walking across a wall of water standing 300 feet high. Just the water. It didn't have a dam there. No. Just the wall of water. So you kind of get an understanding of, you know, what these people were. Would you have been afraid to walk beside a 300-foot wall of water and it just standing up? I mean, how many times have these people seen water just stand up before this? Once. But they saw it on both sides that time, didn't they? Right. And a lot of these, yeah, that's right. A lot of them, some of them had not. They'd been born during the wilderness. Some of them had been. They were very small. And now some of them were like 45, 50 years old. And they were just kids when they come through the Jordan. I mean, the Red Sea. So they're seeing some of these people are seeing things they've never seen before. So you got to understand where these people are. And we're going to look at some of the Levite cities, the cities of refuge, are Kadesh, Shechem, Hebron, Golan, more Golan Heights, I guess they call it, Ramoth Gilead, and Bezer. Those were the cities of refuge. What was the cities of refuge for, number three? That's number three over there. All right, it was a Levite city, but what was it designed for? This is number three, in case y'all don't know it. All right, if you accidentally kill someone, or even if you kill someone, you could go there, but you would be tried. If you were found not guilty, then you were let go, more or less. Okay, now we look at the different tribes and where they actually settled. We know that Reuben settled on the east side of Jordan. Simeon was down in the Negev area. What happened to Levi? They're scattered all over. All right, so now we look at Judah, and that's Judah. And that's Dan, that's part of Dan. And we'll talk about this a little bit later, that part of Dan moved on further north, and they actually got a place up here as well. Well, Tracy, I appreciate that one. This is Naphtali, I believe. My glasses are not working too good. Naphtali, and then Gad is on the east side. And Asher is up in the upper region there. And that's Zebulun? Issachar. I tell you, I tried to tell Abe, I couldn't read with these glasses. Zebulun, and then that's Zebulun there? Okay. All right. Thank you. And then we have Ephraim, and then Manasseh headed on both sides, half on each side. All right. So key location is the Shephelah. Where do we find the Shephelah number two? All right. Just inside the coastal plain, Mount Lebanon. Can you give me a general idea where Mount Lebanon is? Number three. Generally. I didn't hear anything. Where's Mount Lebanon? North and east, now, and north and west, you might say, of that land. Okay, very good. And we'll study more about the Lebanon Mountains and those kind of things as time goes by. One of the kings actually sent timbers from there down to build what, number one? Temple. Very good. All right. So we got Mount Hermon, and that's another mountain just north of Dan up in that area. Lake Hula, Sea of Galilee, the Dead Sea, Jordan River, and the Negev. These are some rivers that we need to remember, and of course, Lake Hula, Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and the Dead Sea. And these are the rivers I was telling you about. The Zered, the Arnon, the Jabbok, and the Yarmuk, Mount Ebal, Mount Gerizim, and Shechem. And we're going to look at those. But I want you to look at Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. This is Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. What did Moses tell them to do when they crossed Jordan and go to these two mountains? What were they to do, number one? We already gone over this now. Moses already said it. All right. They divided the tribes, some on Mount Ebal, some on Mount Gerizim. Then what happened? Number two. Very good. The blessings and the curses were hollered, you might say, because these mountains are about a mile apart. Now, you say, a mile? How in the world could you hear a mile away? You know, a mile from here is about to the courthouse. I used to ride on my bike, I know. I used to live on the street of it. But there's a reason they could do that. It was because on the inside of each mountain, and you can... I'll get back there. Later. All right. Come on. There we are. All right. This little area right in here, it looks like a kind of a tree on both sides right in that area. What that is a caved out, kind of like an amphitheater. And people have even gone over today and tried it, and they could actually hear from one mountain to the next, even though the city of Shechem is right in the middle of it today. They could actually hear somebody on that mountain over there. And you picture a time when there wasn't cars moving and tractors and whatever it might be, how you could possibly hear. Now, you reckon how they knew, God knew they could hear one another. When he told Moses to tell them to holler the curses from one and the blessings from the other or whatever. God knew that that was possible for them to do that. And you just imagine this going on at that particular time. Shechem. Tell me something about Shechem that goes way back, number one. All right. Abraham came. And that's where he first stopped, was in Shechem, okay? That would have been between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, that area right there. So, that's a, lets you know kind of where that was at. These are the rivers. If you'll think about the Zered, and then you go from the alphabet, from the bottom to the top, you go Zered to the Arnon, okay? The next one is the Jabbok, and it looks kind of like a J right there. And the Yarmouk looks like a Y. So that'll kind of give you an idea. And you're going to see these come into play when Israel starts coming in. The judges are there judging Israel, and they're going to be chasing their enemies. And they're going to be crossing this Jordan River, and a lot of them will cross at the Jabbok. Some might cross at the Yarmouk. And the other place was where Israel crossed, was down just about the top part of the Red Sea. Mount Carmel, the Valley of Jezreel, we're going to get into those places. Hebron, Jerusalem, Kadesh Barnea, Philistia, we're going to look at another map in just a minute. The Plain of Sharon, Phoenicia, the Araba, the Arabian Desert, Ammon, Bashan, Edom, and Gilead. This is the Araba, and this stretched down below the Dead Sea, and it looked kind of like desert, doesn't it? But it stretches on down towards the Gulf. And these are some of those areas. Phoenicia is right in this area. Mount Carmel, that's a little part that sticks out. And we're gonna see what all goes on there. The plains of Sharon, Philistia, where the Philistines were, Hebron, we'll talk about that as they start capturing the land. Gilead, we'll find that mentioned as well. Moab, Ammon, and those kind of things. Maybe. All right. That's it for today, and we'll take up Wednesday night, and we'll start crossing the Jordan and think about, as we cross, that wall of water. Thank y'all for you.